December the 1st marks the 31st World AIDS Day. A recent press conference revealed that there will be around 1.25 million HIV carriers and AIDS patients here in China by the end of 2018. Well, that's just one figure, and we'll get into more figures and analysis behind that about China. But before that, let's take a look at World AIDS Day and what it stands for.
Well, World AIDS Day, designated on December 1st every year since 1988, is an international day dedicated to raising awareness to AIDS, the AIDS pandemic caused by the spread of HIV infection, and mourning those who have died of the disease. Government and health officials, non-governmental organizations, and individuals around the world observe the day, often with education on AIDS and prevention and control. It's one of the 8 official global public health campaigns marked by the World Health Organization, along with the World Health Day, World Blood Donor Day, and also World Immunization Week. So the theme of this year's World AIDS Day is Know Your Status. It could have commercial implications. According to the fact sheets of the Joint United Nations Program on AIDS, last November, 36.9 million people globally were living with HIV in 2017, 35.1 million adults and 1.8 million children. AIDS-related deaths have been reduced by more than 51% since the peak in 2004. And in 2017, around 940,000 people have died from AIDS-related illnesses worldwide, compared to 1.9 million in 2004 and 1.4 million in 2010. So it seems like there's a lot of improved access to medication that's going on in all over the world. And I find it interesting that there's not just one day for AIDS awareness. There's actually quite a few. So apparently, according to the United States Center of Disease Control and Prevention, there's a National AIDS and Aging Awareness Day September 18th. There's a National Youth AIDS Awareness Day on April 10th. And there's also a National Women and Girls AIDS Awareness in March, an Asian Pacific Islander Day on May 19th, and also a National Black HIV Awareness Day in February. So I wasn't aware that there were so many days that is, you know, giving rise to, well, this type of awareness for this disease.
That's so interesting. And my interpretation of that would be that in the U.S., AIDS has been taken very seriously. And I think there's probably more studies and also NGOs, I suppose, that are devoted to this purpose and also looking at very specific segments of the population.
Right.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of skepticism here. That is, if you devote so many different days to a purpose and with slight variations, I mean, would that actually raise awareness or just get people confused and or sort of just futile an attempt if there's 5 days of this in a year? Do you see what I mean?
Right. But I also feel that sometimes people don't really focus on things if they feel that it doesn't apply to them. And a lot of times if you're a woman and there's a day for you, you're going to keep it in mind. You may stay a little bit longer on the advertisement on your phone or wherever you see it. And for elderly people, it's more tailored towards these individuals or those demographics. So people in those areas will be able to hear it more and focus more on it. Because if it's just one day, for example, like I was not aware that there was an AIDS Awareness Day. But since if it's more tailored to me, for example, then it'll linger in my mind a bit more.
Yeah, definitely, because at least whenever there is such a campaign on a certain day, all the media will give more coverage to the issue.
Right.
So no matter you want to get access to this issue or not, but you will be exposed to this issue, of course you will get more awareness from this topic.
And sometimes your friends will be like, oh, hey, I heard something, there's a day going on for this, have you heard about it? And they'll ask you because maybe you fit into that category or something. So I think it's pretty good to actually tailor it to, you know, different demographics.
Mm. And here in China, this is one issue that has been taken up by the national government in various levels of government. Certainly, we're seeing campaigns and studies, surveys that's coming out around this period of time of the year. So let's review what's going on here in China in regards to HIV and AIDS.
Because our country's National Health Commission recently they held a press conference trying to introduce the prevention and treatment work of HIV and AIDS in China. And we know that the first case of HIV-related diseases was discovered in China in 1985. So since then, the number of infected cases is keep on rising. So we can take a look at this year. By the end of this September, China has about 850,000 people reported living with HIV/AIDS, and around 262,000 people had died of AIDS-related diseases since the first case was discovered in 1985. And also, according to the analysis of experts, there have been around 30% of HIV carriers, they haven't discovered their situation and or diagnosed as HIV and AIDS infection. Maybe that's a reason why this year we are highlight the theme of the HIV or the AIDS a day is to just know your status, because there are still 30% of the carriers in China, they haven't diagnosed, and also they don't know about their status, apparently. And also, there will be an estimation of around 1.25 million HIV carriers and AIDS patients in China by the end of this year. An estimated about 80,000 people will be infected by HIV and AIDS every year. So according to a national conference on HIV and AIDS in Yunnan province, only just in the second quarter of this year alone, there are about 40,000 cases of people living with HIV/AIDS were newly reported. So with about 93.1% having contracted the virus through sex.
That's a lot of information there. Well, certainly when we say reported in this context, it is when a person, this is completely voluntary, that you go to the doctors or the hospital in your region and go for a checkup or ask for medicine, this kind of thing. Now, actually, there are these really simple kits you can get even at home to do a little test and send it to the hospital. So science and medicine in this area has very much progressed a lot.
I'll have to say that's very convenient. I mean, I've actually went these figures, and you every now and then you do hear about, you know, the spreading of this disease, and it worries, well, a lot of people, and myself even. I've taken an HIV test a couple of years ago. And you feel very nervous when you do it, and also it's expensive. I mean, I remember paying around 600 to 700 yuan for this test. I don't know if it was the hospital I went to or not, but it's a little pricey. And you have to wait like a week or two to get the results back. So during that time, you are just, you know, it's a very uncomfortable time for you. But it's very important, because a lot of times when you have these annual checkups at your job, sometimes they don't check for these things. You know, they check for just your overall health. So, you know, to get something that's tailored specifically for this disease, I think that everyone should do it, because it's clearly an issue all over the world.
Okay, Tony, can I please ask you a question? I hope that's not too personal. but I'd really like to know, what are the benefits of knowing that I'm living with HIV/AIDS, or I have this condition? Because I understand that some people, just like with any other disease, like cancer or just some very scary conditions out there, and you sort of just want to sweep it under the rug. It's, you know, what is that saying? Not in my sight, out of my mind.
Oh, out of sight, out of mind.
But the medical condition is a different thing, I would suppose. So, how would you persuade people?
Well, like you mentioned, like with cancer, for example, a lot of people are suffering from this illness as well. But cancer doesn't really affect so many people other than yourself. You know, a lot of times cancer is not, you know, in some forms, most forms actually, you can't transfer it to someone else. But AIDS is special. It's something that you can actually, well, transit to someone else. So I think it's very important for people to know if they have it, because you could be infecting people. Mm-hmm. And I think, and then from that point, when you get the virus, obviously your lifespan, you know, shortens drastically if you are not aware that you have it and you're not taking the proper treatment. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really the biggest distinction between AIDS and, you know, some other illnesses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in most cases, AIDS is transferred by, well, sexually transmitted. Among the infection cases reported in 2017, 69.6% was transmitted through heterosexual transmission. And that's between, you know, two different genders. And 25.5% was transmitted through same-sex intercourse between males. And Wu Zunyo said that sexual transmission is the major way of transmitting the disease globally, especially heterosexual transmission. So when you know that this is the biggest way, the largest way to transmit the illness, it's very important to know that if you have it or not. And that's why I recommend a lot of people, especially if you're single and you're not married. And even nowadays, it's important for married people to even check and just make sure that they have, if they don't have the condition or not, because let's face it, people do have extramarital affairs, and this virus is getting around. Mm. And it's not just affecting married people or single, it's also affecting university students. Apparently, Chinese students in 82% of the newly reported HIV cases involving students in 2017 had the virus through same-sex activities or continued to spread since 2012, according to a senior official of the Chinese Center for Disease Control, and said at a recent forum that the fifth national conference of HIV was in Kunming. So it seems that a lot of awareness still needs to be implemented, because a lot of people are just not sure on the disease and if how prevalent it is and how you get it. And once people realize that, hey, this is something that I can get from, you know, having a night out on the town, or, you know, something very simple, one night can, you know, change the rest of your life.
Oh, that is actually a really good slogan, I think, to raise awareness, and it sums it up really well. And when you look at these figures, I just feel sometimes, of course, awareness is super important here, but how can you stop people from spreading something so undesirable as a disease? That can be a tricky thing. Well, there are some STDs out there.
Right.
Sexual transmitted disease. That's awkward, especially if someone realized that you've got it and maybe you should tell a previous partner or someone you've come into this kind of close contact with, right? And not to mention HIV and AIDS, that's a life and death thing in the long term. So I think it's super important to straighten out the facts and clear up the stigma. Because if you don't do both, what about the people who feel I've become a victim and I have lots of negative feelings about this? And you're effectively telling that person that, hey, you need to stop as well. And you need to, because this thing stopping from you is actually saving other people too. And that part can be a little bit selfless altruism. And I don't think we should just take for granted that, yes, everybody will do that. I think this is actually a much bigger thing that requires society to act, requires every one of us. There's something you can do to chip in, to make it less difficult a situation for those who are unfortunately in this, and to prevent innocent people in the future from contracting it.
And I think that's where education comes into play. I can't imagine a normal, sane, and moral person who knows that they have a life-impending disease spreading it to someone else.
Mm.
You know, so I really think that if people are aware of the illness and are aware of how they spread it, that they will monitor their actions and relationships thereafter. But I think there's just a huge, enormous amount of people who are just not aware. And I also feel that the prevalence in your country has a lot to do with it too, because if it's a small number, then you ignore it. You feel like it's not significant, mm-hmm. and it'll never happen to you, which is probably what a lot of people say is, oh, it won't happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, as the disease spreads and as it grows, and I think that this awareness is very important, where a lot of people are starting to take action and get tested and find out if they have it or not. And it's, I think it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Okay, so we're on this note. Mm-hmm. Let's get it out there for people. What are the transmitted ways, so to speak? So what are the avenues that we need to cut? Therefore, HIV and AIDS does not spread.
For me, I think also another thing we should pay attention is we need to remove the stereotype. Because when I received the education on HIV and AIDS, maybe back in middle school, and I learned there are three major ways that where you can get infected. First one is, of course, sexual intercourse. And some people may believe, oh, only by you having involved into prostitution or just some random sex activities that you will get infected.
Right.
And the second one is a shared needles. Sometimes it's by donated blood, but in an illegal way, or you just taking drugs. And the third one is from a mother to child. Mm-hmm. By giving birth, the mom may carry HIV virus, and by breastfeeding and also maybe through the blood, the baby can get HIV AIDS. So based on this knowledge, when I was in the middle school, I have to say, I have a very negative image about those people who are HIV carriers or those AIDS patients, because I think they got a disease through some not very decent ways.
Right.
So I think this is a stereotype. When I grow up, I realized this is actually a stereotype. So I think maybe if the people should remove this kind of stereotype, then they can be more tolerant and more generous to those people who affected. And then for these people, they will also like to be embraced by the society, and then they will shoulder their social responsibility is stop like infect more people in the society.
Yeah, I really feel that, again, you know, education is key here, because in the United States back in the 70s and 80s, HIV and AIDS was considered a gay man's or a drug user's disease. So there was a famous basketball player named Julius Erving. Actually, his name was Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
And a very famous, considered one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And his career just came to a screeching halt, really, in the NBA when he was diagnosed with HIV.
Mm.
And a lot of people looked at him in a very negative light, as if he was a drug addict or if he was gay. And at that time in the United States, neither of those things were really accepted at all. So it was just a really tough time. But as you know, as the society became more affluent about the disease, people realized that it's not, you don't just get it from these situations. Mm. There's a number of ways that you can contract AIDS. Even from transfusions, apparently. There's a famous Hollywood movie called Predator. I don't know if anyone has heard of it, but the actor in the film actually had a car accident. And in his car accident, he needed a blood transfusion. The hospital accidentally gave him HIV-positive blood. So this actor ended up contracting the virus and actually doing a lot of humanitarian work after that to promote the awareness of the disease. But it was a very unfortunate case for him. But there's a number of ways that you can contract this illness, unfortunately.
Yeah, so through blood, bodily fluids, but that can be a little confusing for people.
Right.
So
there's semen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's vaginal fluids. There's milk from breast milk. And then, of course, blood. And then of course intravenous sharing. So if someone who has the disease, needles. So there's a number of mainly blood and bodily
yep.
fluids.
So sweat, and
saliva. No.
Yeah. And saliva. So if you're sharing the same bottle of water with someone who's living with HIV and AIDS, that you're not in the risk of.
Yeah.
right. contracting the disease. And yeah, these simple facts need to get out there for people to know. And let's look at here in China. What are the demographic groups, or what are the groups of people that I suppose we're seeing maybe a little bit more growth in the reported cases?
I think generally there are still the victims are mainly young people, but recently there's a new trend, which is more elderly, they are infected. And experts said that they have found out that there was an obvious increase in the number of infections of senior citizens, especially elderly men who are over 60 years old. And the number of infections rose from more than 8,000 cases in 2012 to over 19,000 cases in 2017, and which shows an increase of 42%.
Wow.
Well, so here we see that, I guess, these awareness campaigns have not reached everybody for sure.
Well, I think it's definitely, you're talking about an older generation where at a time the disease was not really an issue in their lifetime. So it's changing a behavior that's very difficult to change. For example, a lot of the ways to avoid HIV contraction through sex is to wear condoms, which is very hard for individuals who have not used it or have went their entire life not using it, trying to discover this new method of intimacy is very difficult. And for a lot of people, it's almost impossible. Mm-hmm. So trying to reverse that. And again, it's a bit harder to educate some of the older people on some habits. A lot of times when we get older, there's a saying that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And it's just another way of saying that when people get older, they're really resistant to a lot of things, whether it's, media or internet or anything that's new, they resist it. So this new way of expressing intimacy is going to be hard to change.
And it's got to change because you're protecting yourself and also protecting your loved one or someone who's coming to close contact with you in this way. So this is the responsible thing to do, everybody. Mm. Consent and, safety. So...
And I think that there's a lot of things that are going on now. I mean, I recently heard about here in China, actually, there was, say, a scientist who did some DNA manipulation to where the HIV cannot be spread from parent to child, which I think is a significant finding. It's got a lot of flack in the Western media, but on a personal level, I just think that is definitely a step towards eradicating society from this illness. But unfortunately, a lot of people who have come forward with cures for this condition have been slammed really hard by the media, not just in here in China, but even in the United States. There was an individual who cured a lot of people, actually over 80 cases of AIDS, but was slammed really hard in the media. So it's very interesting, the approach that the government takes sometimes.
Well, there's also the approach of how to cure or how to prevent a disease from spreading. Because if it is something that is taking medicine,
right,
then that's not alternating your gene. And that's, I think these are two completely different issues,
right,
and of levity. Yes, you're listening to Roundtable. We'll be back after this break.